bring your Bible tonight. Good deal, good deal. Just want to say appreciate this church. We have been treated very, very well here and treated very well. And we appreciate the opportunity to come up here and preach to y'all. Appreciate the big backyard you gave us back here to park a camper and stay back there and try not to run over the birds that got nests out here in the gravel. God, I don't know what he was thinking to design birds that lay nests out in gravel. I don't get that. But anyway, they're out there and they look mean. And my wife's got, we got a little dog with us and she's carrying that dog out there and that them birds just getting at her. And so anyway, but we appreciate the hospitality and appreciate the privilege to be here with y'all once again. We want you to continue to pray for us. And he mentioned Brother Mike Hutzel going to Kenya. We're going with him in August. And my wife is leading up the thing in, with the ladies in our church. We're trying to put together little baskets for the ladies there in Kenya, personal care items, personal hygiene items, things like that, and then put a Bible in every one of those. And I'll tell you something, they are hungry. You offer them a Bible over there, they'll take it. They are hungry for the Word of God. We found that out the very first time we went over there. We did not have enough Bibles. And I'm talking King James Bibles because they had Swahili Bibles. And when I showed them, see, the Catholic Church got involved in the Swahili Bible Project years ago. I found that out. And they changed significant places in the Swahili Bible. And when I showed them that in their Swahili Bible, it referred to Jesus in Daniel 3:25 as Mwana wa Mungu. What that word means, that phrase means Son of God. Mungu is God. Miungu is plural. When you add the E in there, it pluralizes the word. Their Swahili Bible said Mwana wa Miungu, Son of the Gods. And when I showed them that, it made them mad. It made them mad that the devil had got in their Bible. And they knew it. And so they were just climbing all over us for King James Bibles because they can read and speak and know what English is over there. Because God set it up years ago that the British Empire went over there, gave them tea twice a day. They know how to play soccer real well. And they know how to read English. That's what God did for them. And so we went over there with Bibles. Anyway, we're going back again in August, so we want y'all to pray for us. And if you can help us out in any way, we appreciate it. Help Brother Mike out. Help us get out there and spread the word out there. Because like I said, if God's going to turn his back on America, he's still looking for people who have believed our report, he said in Isaiah. If he's looking for people, Isaiah 28:11, to whom shall he make to understand doctrine? God is looking for people who are hungry for the Bible and who want to know things. And if he finds them in Kenya, that's where he's going to build his house. And if he can't find them in America no more, you can rest assured he's going to burn this place down like he did Sodom. Amen? And I'd just sooner not happen, but that's the way everything's going. So pray for us and our work and labor over there. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew 24. I've got a dear little bookmark here that Sadie made for me last night. But Sadie, I had to rip it in half because I got two places I didn't want to forget in my Bible. So I got one here and the other one there. Matthew 24, let's look. I got about five verses very quickly to kind of let you know where I'm going tonight. Matthew 24, and Jesus said in verse 4, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that no man deceive you. You got that? All right, now let's see, where can we go to now? 2 Timothy. Turn to 2 Timothy. Let's see here. Where do I want you to turn? Yeah, 2 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You got that? Now turn to 2 John. 2 John, verse 7. There's only one chapter there. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Notice he said many deceivers are entered into the world. Now where else can we go? Listen, we did 2 Timothy. Let's go to Galatians. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I want you to think about seed. We talked about DNA last night. We know what DNA is. We know what the word seed is now. We know it's DNA. We know what Jesus then was teaching in the parable of the seed and the sower. The seed is the word. Can you expect to sow corrupt seed and get incorrupt fruit? Whatever the seed says is coming, that's what's coming. Whatever you sow into people, that's what you're going to get out of it. Amen? There, you shall know them by their fruit. The fruit is determined by the seed that's sown. Amen? Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Brother Jamie, while we were talking there at the restaurant, I had these verses going through my mind. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 33, be not what? Deceived. Evil communication. Evil TV shows. Evil YouTube videos. Evil websites. Evil preaching. Is there such a thing as evil preaching? Every one of these verses, they all saying the same thing. Be not deceived, be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Turn to 2 Thessalonians now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul said in verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man what? Deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except they come falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Look in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already... Did you know that every time you find the word mystery in your King James Bible, it'll tell you what the mystery it is? It'll tell you the mystery. Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep. We should all be changed in a moment, twinkle of an eye. Paul said, I would not you be ignorant of this mystery that blindness in part is happened in Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Every time. The word mystery is mentioned 22 times, and about 22 is the number for Revelation. How many chapters of the book of Revelation have in it? 22. It's a revelation. And every time you find the word mystery in the Bible, it explains even mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the angel said, I'll show you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried it. I'll show you what the mystery is. You are the recipients of God's keys unlocking every secret that there is. You can know what's behind door number 3. Amen. You can know what's behind those doors. God has given you the keys in your Bible to understand mysteries, understand secrets. Now, if we understand them, we don't have charity, then we're sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. But you have been given the keys to understand these mysteries. So the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be what? See, he just told you the mystery of iniquity. Now he's going to tell you what there's going to come a day, and that wicked is going to be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his... By the way, when it says the spirit of his mouth, does that mean his bad breath? It means his... If you look in Revelation 19, what is it that's coming out of the Lord's mouth? A sharp, two-edged sword, which is your Bible. How are you going to destroy the spirit of Antichrist? The Word of God. How do you destroy deception? The Word of God. You shine the light on it. Okay? How can you, let's say that a wolf tries to come in your church, Brother Jamie, and he's going behind your back because they never get permission to go after the sheep. He goes behind your back, or she goes behind your back saying, oh, go to this website here. Oh, go watch this YouTube video here and look at this guy here. Or look at this thing over here. How can you stop that in your... How can you stop the spread of that deception in your church? You give them the Word of God. So he says, even him, verse 9, whose coming is after working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. See, sin lies, doesn't it? Let's say your sin. Your sin will lie to you. Your sin will change your doctrine. You mark it down. That's how it works. With deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. What did Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Jesus gave the answer. John 17, thy word is truth. Is there anything else in this world that's true? No, all men are liars. Let God be true. And every man a liar. So that they received not the love of the truth. They did not love the Bible that they might be saved. For this cause, God shall send them what? A strong delusion. I'm going to open up a can of worms tonight. The earth is not flat. It ain't. And nobody went into a time machine at CERN, went back in time, altered words out of the Bible so that now we have all our Bibles have been changed behind our backs because we're living now in an alternate timeline. You're looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. Listen, this stuff is all over the internet now. I mean, and it's big. And I had people getting in contact with me saying, Pastor, did you know that they changed the Bible? Did you know that it used to say a lion and a lamb will... And I said, no, that's not what it said. It said a wolf and a lamb. Well, did you know that it's been changed from wineskin to bottles? I said, no. The King James never said wineskins. King James always said, well, bottles weren't around in King James. And the Jesus say, oh, yeah, bottles go all the way back to Egypt, for crying out loud. And let me tell you something. And what I did was I did a two-hour deal called, it's called the Mandela Effect. And there's this teaching on the internet that says people went back in time and changed words out of the King James Bible so that now even the King James Bibles don't say what they used to say. We're living in an alternate timeline and the devil is deceiving everybody. And I said, the Word of God is incorruptible, which means not only is it not been corrupted, it is not able to be corrupted. But people, and I say this in love, but the idea that somebody went into a time machine, went back 100 years, changed words out of the Bible, now we live in an alternate time, because they've been watching too many science fiction movies, I guess, but they believe it. I said, that is a weak delusion. It doesn't take much to see through that and to say, okay, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard of in my life. And I'm being nice about it. What I'm telling you is there's a strong delusion coming. And if you fell for the weak one, you don't stand a chance against a strong delusion. So let me help you pastors out and you church people. Because I've been around this town. There's mega churches all over this area. Okay? I drove through Springfield, Missouri. There's dozens of mega churches in Springfield, Missouri. But this ain't one of them. And you don't want to be either. If all God is going to do with this church in the last days is cause you to stand in righteousness on the truth of the Word of God, let me tell you, you have the greatest ministry that God has ever given anybody, because the deceptions are let me tell you this. Did you know that right now in America, more than 60% of millennials, that is people born around the year 2000 and upward, more than 60% of millennials right now in this country question whether the earth is actually round. They're not sure anymore, Brother Stacy. That's simply because of social media. Evil communications corrupt good manners. So God is looking for people that will believe what he said so he can use them in the last days to shine the light of the word, his word of truth out there, because there are still some people that are getting caught up in this nonsense that God's going to pull them back out. He pulled me out. He pulled you out. There's still people out there that God's going to save. Amen? We'll just wait for them, but we'll shine the light of the truth of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, there is no greater thing that a God could do with a human is to put in bed in them His truth and then say, will you stand for me in the last days? Because the deceptions are everywhere. Amen? You know what? I'm going to change what I'm going to do first. I've got about three different really long sermons to give you tonight, so I'm going to give you the first of them. I love talking about the blood, and I'm going to show you some things. There's some things I didn't know anything about blood, and I sat down one day and I said, God, would you show me about blood and how it works in the Gospels and how Christ's blood does this and Christ's blood does that. One of the things I always questioned was, how is it that our robes are going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb and they turn out white? Because every time I got blood on my clothes, it's red and I got a whooping for it. Amen. Okay. So how is it that when we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, our clothes turn out white? And I didn't know. So I asked God, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. So I sat down at my computer and I had my Bible software and I said, God, show me about the blood. And that afternoon, God showed me some things. I never saw this before, but it's there. It's in your Bible and some things that we know, because we have microscopes now and we have the ability to see things that we've never been able to see before. And what science is desperately trying not to do is recognize God, but every time they make some great big discovery about something in this world, it proves this Bible right. It never disproves God. So I like to show you things like that. First of all, you have four blood types. Now think of the blood. Think of Christ. And we talked about this last night. You have four books in your Bible that deal specifically with Christ's blood. They are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And here's what's interesting. Out of those four books, three of them are identical and one's different. The three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the synoptic gospels. Optic means that you can see them. Syn, S-Y-N, means they're the same. They look the same. Matthew, Mark, and Luke look the same. John's different. The way John wrote, the words that he used, the stories that he told are different than the other three. And out of the four blood types, one of those is different. Which one? Anybody take a guess? No, you're wrong on that one. Sorry, well, let's be dismissed. Oh, why? I thought you said you're old. That's what makes you different. You're O and old. What makes an O blood type different than A or B or AB? It's, what'd you say? Universal donor. Now I want you to think about this. The Old Testament, when God met with people at Mount Sinai, it was a specific bloodline. It was Jews and only Jews. In the New Testament, Christ intended that everybody could be saved, not just one. See, I'm a B positive. I can only donate to B people. If you're A, you can only donate to A. If you're AB, you can only donate to AB. But if you're an O, what is it, O negative? Your blood, look at this verse here. Matthew 26:28. For this is the blood of my New Testament, which is shed for who? Many. Not just a certain group of people like Israel, but Christ's blood then can be shared with, see, when we give blood, it's so that somebody's life could be saved who needs blood, because blood is the life. And Christ then comes and offers his unique blood. Nobody else's is like it. His unique blood, which is now shed instead of just for one group of people, it's shed for many. By the way, look at these four things up here I have on the screen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the same. John's different. If you ever see four things in the Bible, I guarantee you three of them are the same and one of them's different. Leah, Bilha, Zilah, and Rachel. Which one of those is different than the other three? Rachel. Okay, why? She was the real true love. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah. Out of those four, which one of them is different than the other three? Judah, because that's the bloodline that Christ came from. and he's a high priest, and there is nothing in the Old Testament about a Judahite being a high priest. So with a change in the high priest, there has to be a change in the law. That's why we have a new covenant. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and the Son of God. That's an easy one. Amen? He's different than the other three. Wayside, stony, thorny, good ground. Out of those four groups, three of them die and go to hell. Three of them produce no fruit. And they're cut off and cast into the fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's the good ground. That's the people that are saved. Amen? So now, we have four components of blood. Plasma, red cells, white cells, platelets. Now watch this. Here's what's interesting, is that in your blood you have red and white blood cells. In the Bible, the blood of the covenant, what was Jesus drinking when he was talking about this is the blood of the New Testament? What was he drinking? Grape juice or wine, okay? And there's two different types, red and white. Amen? Okay? There's two different types, red and white. There's red blood cells. And see, God knew what he... God didn't just go, we'll pick wine to be the symbol. He knew what he was doing, didn't he? He knew it before the scientists figured out what he was doing. Amen? So let's talk about... I could talk about red blood cells and platelets and all that stuff. Let's talk about white blood cells. Because white blood cells, that's the saving part of blood. It's the white blood cells. White blood cells are the healers of the body. What is that? It's a zit. Why do you get them? Because something, watch this now, something invades your body. A foreign object gets in your skin cell, your skin pores, piece of dirt or some kind of little bacteria, some kind of germ that does an unclean thing, gets in your body. And immediately your body sends out, in fact, your body right now, the white blood cells are going through your veins right now looking, actively looking for something unclean in you. They don't just lay around waiting for something to happen. They go around looking for something to happen. Amen? The eyes of the Lord are going to and fro looking how God can show himself strong on behalf of those that are weak. Amen? That's your white blood cells. They're going through your body right now just going, where is it? We know it's here. We're going to find it. And when we do, you're dead meat. Amen? That's what it does. Now watch this. Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once a year with the blood of the sin offering. And he said, this is most holy unto the Lord. He said, the blood of the bullock, the blood. And he said, what it does, he said, we're going to sprinkle the blood seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness. That's what white blood cells do. They look for the uncleanness, and when they find it, they hallow it. They take what's unclean and makes it clean. For the blood of bulls and goats, and the ashes and the heifer sprinkling, the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from what kind of works? Dead works to serve the living God. White blood cells kill unclean things. Now I'm going to show you how it does it, okay? There are three stages. This word, phagocytosis, I learned it in school and forgot it. And when I was reading up on blood, I had to learn it all. I went, I remember that word, phagocytosis. Okay? And what it is how a white blood cell does what it does. It goes through engulfment, degradation, and consumption. And I'm going to show you those from the Bible. The first thing, when white blood cells find the uncleanness, the first thing it does is it engulfs it, which means that if the defilement is bigger than one white blood cell, then the white blood cell will go, and all of them will come, and they will all show up because there is no such thing as an unclean thing being bigger than God's method of covering it. You cannot out-sin grace. Where sin abounded, so what happens is one blood cell figures out, I'm not enough to do this. Let's bring in them all. And so the body will send forth white blood cells until, watch this, until what's unclean is completely covered. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. It will complete. First thing is it will completely cover the sin with white. White. Amen. What color robes are we going to wear? Revelation 19, it was granted to her that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Did you know that NIV says the righteous deeds of the saints? That's a lie. That is a blatant, outright lie. You have no righteous deeds. In fact, all your righteous deeds are like what? So even if you show up to heaven with your righteous deeds, they'll still have to be covered. We don't desire that we show up to heaven naked, unclothed. We desire to be clothed upon by white. Amen. And completely covered so that no uncleanness is showing. Degradation. That's the second. Once it covers it, then it takes and degrades it. In other words, it takes the uncleanness and breaks it up into a billion tiny pieces. Look at your Bible. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces. That's what he does to your enemies. Psalm 72:4, he shall break in pieces the oppressor. Psalm 74, thou breakest the heads of Leviathan. Who's Leviathan? It's the dragon, the devil. He shall break the heads of Leviathan in pieces. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces. So once it completely covers it, it breaks it, it takes our enemies and breaks them in pieces, just like the Bible said. So that's engulfment, degradation. Does anybody remember part three? This is where it gets good. Consumption. The Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. It made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was what? I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, yet let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak, consume them in wrath. Consume them that they may not be. You see, watch this now. When the white blood cell covers it, and when it breaks it in pieces, and when it consumes it, it is then as if the uncleanness never was there to begin with. Look at that verse. Consume them that they may not be. We just read this verse, 2 Thessalonians 2, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness. What color is bright? White. Psalm 71, let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. So the three things, engulfment, degradation, consumption, are how the white blood cells deal with the uncleanness in your body. That is, this is the best part. Do you know what happens to the white blood cells once they have completely covered, once they have completely broken in pieces, once they have completely consumed all of the uncleanness that's there? Do you know what happens to the white blood cell? It dies. What happened to Jesus? What did Samson say? Let me die with the Philistines. And the Bible said he killed more of his enemies in his death than he did in his life. Amen? Hebrews 2:14. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. Just like the white blood cell. When it's done with its job, it says, it is finished. And there's nothing, listen, if all your sins have been covered and consumed and they're as if they had never been there, why then would the Catholic Church say, oh no, you need to do penance? You need to perform works. You need to say this, or you need to do this, or you need to pay us this money so that then the rest of your sins can be forgiven. That's a lie, isn't it? Because not even in your body does it do it that way. And God designed it that way. Come now, watch this. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be what? Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as... Look at how a white blood cell looks. Like wool, like white as snow. So you remember the priest would take the sins of Israel. They would like be in his hands, right? And he would lay his hands upon the head of the sacrifice, discharging the sins to the head, right? Remember what they did to Jesus? They put on him a crown of thorns were the representation of our sins being laid upon the head of Jesus Christ. So that when John sees Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, how does he look? His head and his hairs were like wool, white as... What happened to all of our sins that were discharged to his head? Though they were red like crimson, white as snow like wool. Isn't that beautiful? Whew. Aren't you glad you know me? Amen. So, they washed their robes and made them white. How? In the blood of the Lamb. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called what? This Bible's clean and pure and has no imperfections in it whatsoever. If it does, we don't have any hope. Because if the Bible is like us men, then it's a liar because we're a liar. And man has no hope of knowing the truth. Amen? Amen. Let's go. Let's get something else going on here. How about, let's talk about Numbers. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Verse 18. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number. So I count things in the Bible. Okay, I count this. If I see a list of something, I count it. If I see God speaking something, usually there's commas separating things in the Bible. You count them. I learned to count things. Numbers, does God think numbers important? Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned a little bit about this last night. Numbers are infinite. Numbers never end. They never have a beginning. You can go backward with numbers into negative numbers, and you're just going the other way as infinite as you're going this way infinite, and that's how God is. And numbers never change. If it's five, it's still five. When Adam was born, he had five fingers on his hand. We still have five fingers on our hands. Amen? If you go to China and ask him in Chinese, what is 2 + 2? They will say 4 in Chinese. In America, it's 4. Amen? They never change. And you cannot alter mathematics. You cannot alter adding and subtracting and division and multiplication. Those things do not change. They're absolutely universal no matter where you go, and that's God. He never changes. He's infinite. He always was, is, and always shall be, and he's always going to be the same no matter when or where you are. God is always the same. Amen? And so we were talking about, how big is this, right? How big is this? We talked about angels. They're an innumerable company of angels, which means that they have the numbers of angels keep going and going into billions, trillions, quadrillions, quintillions, sextillions, septillions, octillions. Google. The word Google was a word invented to describe a very, very large number that some mathematician came up with, and he asked his daughter, what does that look like? And she said, it looks like a Google. So that's what they named it. But it refers to a number that is extremely large, and yet, even at that point, there's no end to it. Think of pi. Not cherry pie or pecan pie. Think of pi. How you figure out what a circle is. It's 3.14, but it doesn't stop there. It keeps going. It is nobody has counted the end of pi. And I don't think they'll ever find it because it represents what a circle is, and a circle is always represented as infinite, not having a beginning and not having an end. I mean, that's just, and this is just simple geometry is what it is. So think about an innumerable company of angels and think about a God who is so smart, he knows how to cut off one third of them. And 33, or a third is 33.3333, and that also goes on to an infinity, and yet God knows where the end of that is and cuts it off. Amen. By the way, if I add one to one and I keep doing that for infinity, I'll never end and get to the top number, right? And yet God sits at the top of that. He is always the most high God. Now, when you think about those numbers and think about how high they can go, and to us, seemingly, they go on to an infinity, and they do, and yet God sits above the highest number. And to us, there isn't one. How does God do that? So next time you've got a problem and you think God can't fix your problem, just do the math. Because if he's smart enough to sit above the highest number, and there ain't no highest number, he's always going to be the most high. Amen? If he's figured that out, your little problem, he got it. He's got it all. He's got an equation. He said, oh, yeah, I figured this out before you were ever born. Don't worry about it. I got it. Amen? So I count things. Here's wisdom. You want wisdom? Let him that understanding count the number. That number is 603 score and 6. What does that number mean? I don't know yet. When we see it, I think we'll go, okay, that is what's written here. And we'll understand it because of the Word of God. So turn to Ecclesiastes 7. Who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon did. How did he write it? Inspiration. But Solomon was a wicked, depraved. He built pagan temples, and he had many wives, and he had a bunch of women that weren't his wives, and he did all kinds of wicked. He had wine, and he had music, and he had all those things, and yet God called him a holy man. How can you do that? God swore to David, I'll never take my mercy away from him. That's good, isn't it? You take the worst sinner in the world, Solomon. Solomon was allowed to have, by God, everything that every man has ever wanted. He had it. He had it all. But he retained his wisdom, and at the end of his life, he writes the book of Ecclesiastes, and he tells us, men, guys, I had it. Don't go in that direction. It's waste. It's vanity. It's vexation. I had it all. I did not find the satisfaction that I was looking for. God allowed me to retain my wisdom while I'm doing all this, and I'm telling you, it's a waste of time, guys. Don't go there. That's pretty wise, isn't it? So Ecclesiastes chapter 7, he said, in verse 25, I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even foolishness and madness. And he said in verse 27, behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. So here we have two witnesses in your Bible, one Old Testament, one New Testament. They both tell you that wisdom comes from counting things. And by the way, they're both associated with the same number. Revelation 13:18, he gave us 603 score and 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 is the 666th chapter of the Bible. They're both associated with the exact same number. So I count chapters. By the way, the software that a lady wrote for our ministry, purebiblesearch.com, it's free. And I insisted it was going to be free. Nobody sells it. It's free of charge. Linux, Windows, Mac. You can install it free of charge. It's going to be... And since she's put that up on her website, people from all over the world have found it, and they've been downloading it like crazy. And we found out that people in countries where they're not supposed to have a Bible are downloading our Bible search software. They now have a Bible hidden on their computer, and they're not supposed to have one. So we're like Bible smugglers now. Amen? We're pirates. Arr, all right? I love it. All right? So anyway, hey, if we're going to have these computers, let's use them for right instead of wrong. Okay, so you can, listen, I told this to Brother Jamie last night. With this Bible search software, you can, in 5 minutes, what it took the Bereans months to do. And that is to find out what the apostles were saying was right. because you figure they had rolls of Hebrew Old Testaments, and they were searching those scriptures. And it may have taken them weeks or months or a year. And right now, we can do it in as little as 5 minutes. You want to know something out of the Bible? Type it in. You'll know everything that's in the Bible about it. And yet, there's more ignorance now of the Word of God than there ever has been. And my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. You're not going to get any wisdom unless you have knowledge. Knowledge comes from knowing what this Bible says. You will be able to not be deceived if you know what God already said. Amen? Okay? So anyway, I just learned to count things. I just started, God is not the author of confusion, so he writes things in order, and I believe my Bible's in order. So we talked about the number 7 last night. Just mention it briefly, all right? You can know what the Bible says each number means. You can know it. Instead of making stuff up, which some people do, you can go to the Bible and say, God, I want to know what the number 7 means. Well, God then will tell you. Genesis chapter 2, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. And how did God finish it? Did it in how many days? 7. And all the host of them. And on the 7th day, God ended. See that word? Ended. Finished. It's over with. His work which he had made. And he rested on the... By the way, what does the word Sabbath mean? Sabbath is a Hebrew word for the number 7. It's a 7th day. Now the word, the idea of rest may be included in that, but it literally means a number, and it's the number 7. And so God, and he rested on the 7th day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed it, the 7th day, and sanctified it. So now we have blessing and sanctification wrapped up in the number 7, meaning God made it holy. If God makes it holy, it's holy. It means it's clean. That means the white blood cells kicked in and covered it and consumed it and destroyed it as if it had never been there. When God looks on you in judgment, he's going to see white and clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because that in it, he had rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So the number 7, we have finished, completion, ending, blessing, sanctification, holiness, cleanness, all wrapped up in this number. So, in the 7th chapter of the Bible, what did God do? God shows you the pattern of how he works. In Genesis 7, God said, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days. There's two more numbers there, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. In Genesis 7, in the 7th chapter of the Bible, God finished. He ended his work. He put a stop to it. But then what happened? In 8 is the number for new beginnings. Isaac was circumcised on what day? 8. And even the number 8 starts all over again, doesn't it? So on the first day of the week, it's a repeat of the last first day of the week. It's starting the week all over again. So in Genesis 8, guess how many people walked off the ark into a completely clean world? That's 8, by the way. Okay? 8 people. So, and the number 9 is a number for fruit bearing. Ladies, babies. Number 9. You get it? 9 months. The first thing out of God's mouth in Genesis 9 is, be fruitful. In the 9th book of the New Testament, book of Galatians, how many fruits of the Spirit are there? There's 9. How many gifts of the Spirit are there? There's 9. Okay? How old was Sarah? 90. Isn't that neat? By the way, she's a picture of the old man with the new man inside her. Isn't it sweet? See, we're the old, this is the old man, amen? And you don't, and when you get 90, that's old, amen? Sorry, some of you guys are 90, I'm sorry, okay? But anyway, that's just, there's no babies coming out of 90-year-old women anymore. God chose that to show us how the new man lives inside the old man. And one of these days, he's going to be manifested, isn't he? And that, I love this stuff. So the numbers, they make sense, don't they? So Genesis 7, God ended it. Genesis 8, he started it all over again. So the word week is mentioned 28 times in the King James Bible. Week or weeks, 28 times. That's 7 times 4. In the Bible, in the King James, the word week or weeks, 28 times, 7 times 4.
I started seeing these things. God was speaking in order. He has patterns that we recognize in the scripture. Remember what I told you last night about walking 10 steps and finding a penny on the sidewalk. And if you do that 10 times, you know that somebody's not just accidentally dropping pennies every 10 feet on the sidewalk. Somebody's deliberately doing that, and for whatever reason, but they're doing it on purpose. And we are taught in our minds to recognize patterns, recognize things that are consistent. My daddy fished, hunted, and planted by the Farmer's Almanac. He swore it, swore by it. Why? Because it was the signs and the seasons, and God gave us the sun and the moon and the stars for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. And my dad knew them, and he knew when the crappie were spawning by the signs. That's how he went out and caught. He'd call me and say, "Son, crappie are spawning." He knew where they were, what they were eating, what they were watching on TV. I mean, Dad knew it all because he knew the signs, okay? And God gives us patterns everywhere so we can recognize them. And Jesus said, you know the signs and seasons, but you don't know. They didn't even know who it was they were talking to. Amen? Amen. Amen. 7 weeks shalt thou number unto thee. See, God is following a pattern here. He gives them 7 weeks. So how many? 7 weeks times 7 days is how many? It's 49 days. Okay, that's at 7 times 7. Daniel chapter 9, how many weeks? 70 weeks. I'm going to throw you a curveball. You ready? Where does it say that these are years? Where does it say that these 70 weeks are actually 490 years and not 490 days? Where does it say that? So that's a curveball. Okay? I started looking at this passage differently than I used to. And I don't have the answer. But I don't find anywhere where the Bible says that this is 490 years. Because in fact, turn to Daniel 9. I want to show you something. Well, he meant, or he could have meant, right? He could have meant that. Daniel chapter 9, I want you to look at verse 2 and tell me what you see. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And how many years did God accomplish in the desolations of Jerusalem? How many years was it? It was 70 years to the second. Do we believe that? Daniel believed it, and he said 70 years here, and he gave a literal interpretation of what Jeremiah wrote down in Jeremiah. But then he mentioned 70 weeks. How did it turn into years? I don't know. But it doesn't say anywhere that it's anything but 490 days. I'm just giving you something to think about, something to be mad at over, okay? Something to get really upset about, all right? Now move on. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. The word finished is mentioned 42 times in your Bible. So that's 7 times 6. God rested on the seventh day. The word rested is mentioned 21 times in the Bible. Seventh day and seventh month together, both of those 77 times in the Old Testament. And by only the King James. 6 days shalt thou. The word Sabbath mentioned 77 times in the Old Testament. And the number, and the word means seven. Thou shalt number 7 times 7 years. Well, 7 times is mentioned 35 times in the Bible. That's 7 times 5. 7 years is mentioned 42 times. Both of them together, that's 77. For yet 7 days, the phrase 7 days is mentioned 98 times. That's 7 times 7 times 2 in their Bible. The charity never faileth. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. The word cease is mentioned exactly 70 times. See, the word cease means end, right? And it matches the number of times that it's in the Bible. The word finished is mentioned 42 times, 7 times 6. Perfectly is mentioned exactly 7 times in the Bible. Perfectly. Matthew 28:20, even unto the end of the world. The exact phrase, the end of the world, is mentioned exactly 7 times in the King James Bible. Amen. Unto the ends of the earth, the phrase ends of the earth, 28 times, 7 times 4. Look at the sevens in the book of Revelation. There's seven seals, seven trumpets, seven angels with the seven vials of the seven last plagues. Did God just randomly select a number? Or is he showing us the meaning of these numbers in how he does it? Of course he is. The phrase most high is mentioned exactly 49 times. Seven times seven. Here's another one. Holy one. Now the phrase holy one is 48 times, and yet in Isaiah 57:15, for thus saith the high and lofty, one is capitalized that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. You add that one to the 48 times of holy one, you end up with 49 times exactly. Seven times seven. The phrase angel of the Lord, 56 times in the Old Testament, seven times nine. The phrase God of Israel, 203 times, seven times 29. The phrase Lord God, 546 times, that's seven times 78. The phrase God Almighty is 11 times, but the phrase Almighty God is another three, and that gives you 14. That's seven times two. Count how many words. King of kings and Lord of lords. And God put it all in bold print in your king cap. They capitalized it, didn't they? Okay. Here's another one. Turn to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Look at verse 5. What stands out? In verse 5, what just jumps out the page at you? Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. How many words are here? I'll let you count them. It's not seven, so don't cheat. 13. You ever heard of 13's an unlucky number? Well, it is if you're a harlot. Okay? Well, think about this. Jesus walked around with 12 disciples. How many? 13. Here you have 12 tribes and you have God dwelling in the midst of them in the tabernacle. That's 13, right? Okay. Did you know the phrase love of God is mentioned exactly 13 times in the Bible? What's the charity chapter of the Bible? 1 Corinthians what? 13. You see, that number on God's side shows his love for us. And his love is true love because it's giving love without receiving anything. For God so loved the world that he gave. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave. See, that kind of love, number 13, is pure love and it's undefiled. And it's God giving without having to receive anything. Because we have nothing to give God anyway, right? Then flip that upside down. Why do harlots do what they do? They offer love, don't they? But it's a harlot love. They do it, and they only give it for payback. So how many times, Jericho, how many times did they march around Jericho? 13 times. One time a day, six times, seven times on the seventh day. Jericho is a foreshadowing of Babylon. And what happened to Jericho? It fell. What's going to happen to Babylon? What's going to happen in the world? There shall be a falling away first, before the gathering, not after. So there's a picture of this in your Bible. It's in Daniel chapter 3, because there was an image set up that was 60 cubits tall, 60 cubits wide. See those numbers? What does that make you think of? 600, 3 score, and 6. And the false prophet causes everybody to make an image of the beast. And you have an image in Daniel chapter 3, 60 and 6. And everybody does what when they hear the rock and roll praise and worship music? And who doesn't? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God calls us to stand in these last days, having done all to stand, to withstand in the evil day. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ has made us free. God's calling us to stand. And everybody else is going to fall. And then it's going to be known who is and who isn't. And it's going to be that simple. Amen? Boy, God, in all God with a capital G, 400 or 4,081 times, that just happens to be a multiple of seven in your King James Bible. The phrase works of God 7 times. The phrase power of God 14 times. 7 times 2. The mount of God is 4 times. Mountain of God is 3 times. That total is 7. Let I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. The word husbandman 7 times in the King James Bible. In Matthew chapter 1, you have the lineage of Christ. You have 14 and 14 and 14. Those are multiples of 7, but added together you have 42, 7 times 6. That's from Abraham to Christ. But in the lineage in Luke 3, it goes all the way back to Adam and calls him the Son of God. That's 77 people in that lineage. Christ is perfect. Doesn't matter how you add it up. He's perfect. Amen? Amen. And by the way, the word church is 77 times. Now think about this. The lineage of Christ is 77 names from God all the way down to Christ. Okay? And the church is mentioned 77 times in the King James Bible. We are joint heirs. See, that the lineage shows who inherits what. And we are joint heirs with Jesus. 77th verse of the Bible is Genesis 3:21, and it says, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Why? Why did God clothe them? They were naked, right? So the 77th occurrence of the word church is the church of Laodicea, and they're naked, and Jesus encourages them to buy of him white raiment that they may be clothed. So they match, don't they? 77th chapter of the Bible is Exodus 27, and then there it talks about the tabernacle of the congregation. That's 21 times in the book of Exodus, the tabernacle of the congregation, 133 times in the whole Bible, which is 7 times 19. 1 Corinthians 5:7, even Christ is our Passover. That phrase Passover or Passovers, 77 times in the King James Bible. All the forms of the word baptize, 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 baptizes, baptizeth, baptizing, 77 times exactly. Christ was our example, was he not? We followed him in 77 times. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, the phrase in Christ, 77 times. And there's a picture of that in the Bible. The ark. Where were they in relation to the ark? In the ark. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? Remember what we said about the number 8? In Genesis 8, they 8 people come off the ark. And Peter talked about Noah and the 8 people, Noah the 8th coming off the ark. And he said, that's a picture of baptizing. 77 times, 77 times, 77 times, 77 times. It's all there. Amen. It's all in order. So if you take one out, just no order. Just one. Just take one out. Okay? Takes the order out. He appointed 70 also. And in Luke 10 verse 9, he talked about the kingdom of God. Well, the phrase kingdom of God or the kingdom of God, apostrophe S, 70 times. The phrase king, the word king with a capital K, 70 times exactly in the King James. And who's the king? Jesus is. Amen. So in Psalm 12, that's the 490th chapter, that's 70 times 7. It says the word is purified. Do you believe that? So let me give you some dates here. 1604 to 1611. That's 7 years. I didn't do that. I didn't make that up. What I'm giving you is facts. They're fact. These are facts, okay? You can check them if you want. I already have. They're facts. You can do whatever you want to with them. But how stupid do you have to be if you find a penny sitting on a sidewalk every 10 feet and you go, oh, that's an accident. That doesn't mean anything. Amen? The phrase, the word of the Lord, 245 times in the Old Testament, exactly, 7 times 7 times 5. The phrase, Lord of hosts, also 245 times in the Old Testament. The word faith, 245 times in the New Testament. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by, that's 7 times 7 times 5, or 49 times 5. Thy word, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The phrase, thy word, 7 times in the New Testament. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. The phrase, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is used exactly 70 times. And it refers to his word, his Bible. And God spake all these words, saying, that's Exodus 20. That's the first verse that comes before the Ten Commandments. There's 7 words there. That's the 70th chapter of the Bible. The 70th chapter of the Bible is where God's word came down from heaven to man when God met them in Mount Sinai. Isn't it sweet? Turn to Genesis 2. I'm going to give you another one. Genesis 2. It's not the number 7, but it's a number that you'll recognize. Genesis 2. Look at verse 16. The Lord God commanded the man. The word commandment, that's God's law, right? He didn't suggest to him. He didn't say, hey, Adam, if you're feeling like it, could you not eat of that tree? That, please. That's not what he said. He commanded him, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Those words there, I counted those words that God said. There's 39 of them. What number, what does that bring to mind, 39? It's the number of books in the Old Testament, the law. It's a proto, it's a foreshadowing of the law. And the law was strict. God said, if you disobey the law, you'll die. And you have a proto-law here. And so what did Adam do? Broke the law. Broke the covenant. Okay? So it has to be a sacrifice, right? What's that? This King James Bible. I started finding, you should have known me when I was finding all this stuff. Okay? My wife will tell you, I was hard to get along with. I would be sitting in the room and I would jump up and run back to my, and look at, you know, I'd type something in to see how many times it was in the Bible. I'd just get excited. She's going, what are you doing? And now she just goes, oh, there he goes again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's three times in that one verse. Why? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word. In fact, the phrase, the Word, capital W, seven times in the King James Bible. So if you take 1 John 5:7 out, in fact, 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Show me another verse in your Bible that actually nails down the doctrine of the Godhead and says these three are one. Show me another one in the Bible that says that. It's implied. We see it sort of insinuated in other places. But there, and so when these people say, well, there are verses missing out of the NIV, but it doesn't alter any direct doctrine, they're lying. They're not telling you the truth. The phrase, word of God, the exact phrase, word of God, that's the first one that I ever found, 49 times, 7 times 7. King of kings, Lord of lords, 7 words. Faith, 245 times, word of God, 49 times. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. See, they match, okay? The gospel of God, 7 times in the Bible. The word message, 7 times in the King James Bible. That's your Bible. That's your word. 7 thunders. The phrase thunders is mentioned 7 times in the Bible. And 7 thunders were God's voice. Every time it thundered, it's God's voice. It's God speaking. The word thunder, the voice of God. Some said it, that it thundered. They heard what God said. The name Jesus, 980 times in your Bible. You know what that is? That's 70 times 7 times 2. 70 times 7. Now you think about that. They asked Jesus, how shall I forgive my brother? Until 7 times? Until 70 times 7. So think, and it's twice. It's doubled, right? Jesus came the first time to forgive Israel and they wouldn't have it. So he's coming again to forgive 70 times 7 the sins of his brethren, Israel. If you go back to Daniel 9 where it says 70 weeks are determined, if you count, there's 7 things that God said he's going to do with Israel, and they all have refer to forgiveness of Israel's sins, every one of them. It's all about forgiveness. When God forgives, is there anything left to be done? No, it's complete. It's finished. When God forgives your sins, they're gone, just like white blood cells completely covering your transgressions. The phrase, Son of Man, is mentioned 196 times in the King James Bible. That's 49 times 4. The phrase Jesus Christ is 196 times in the King James Bible. Same amount of times. Is that an accident? It has to be on purpose. Because, turn to Revelation Turn to Revelation 5. Revelation 5. See, what I'm doing now is what I love to do. I want to encourage you, stick with this one Bible. Don't substitute it for anything, because there is no substitute for this Bible. Its doctrines are pure. Its words are correct. They do not need man's interpretation. They will interpret themselves. They do not need man's correction. Man, however, needs its correction. We don't change God's word. We let God's word change us. All scripture is given by you. That's present tense, isn't it? Is given. Means if you read your Bible, the Holy Ghost is breathing life into you. He's breathing knowledge into you. He's giving you instruction. He's giving you the words of wisdom. He's going to build you up a holy city, a holy person with these words. How is the church washed? By the word. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 5. By the water, by his word. If that water is defiled, the church remains defiled. If that water is clean, then the church can be clean. So in Revelation 5, what do you see? I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne, what? A book. And it was written. And it was written on both sides, right? On the back side and on the front, right? Within and on the back side. Did you know when Moses came down with the two tables in his hand, the Bible specifically said that they were written on both their sides. See, Moses was a foreshadow of Jesus. Moses was not to replace Jesus. Jesus did not come, as the Hebrew roots people tell you. They tell you that Jesus came to point you back to Moses. Oh, no. Moses came to point you. The lesser always gives glory to the greater. Amen. And Moses is the lesser. And you read Paul. That's why the Hebrew roots people hate Paul. And some of them even say Paul was a false apostle because they don't like what he said. Because Paul was a Jew, and he's telling you, you don't need the law. The law is not going to make you perfect. Grace is. Forgiveness of sins is, but not living by the law. Amen? Where was I going with that? That was good. I forgot where I was going. But anyway, so you have, that Moses was a foreshadowing of that. And by the way, how many times did he do that? The first time, Israel rejected it, and that law was broken. That's Christ's body, which is, because he was made under the law, okay? But he's coming the second time. And when Moses came down the second time, his face, what did his face look like? It was shining like what? The sun. And who is the sun? He's the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings. He did it twice, didn't he? The second time, Israel accepted it. I give you this. Remember the sign? Remember the sign? Moses said, I'm hard of speech, I can't do it. God said, I'm going to give you a sign. He said, Moses, take your hand, put it in your bosom. So he did that. You know what that was? That was Christ. See, there's 27 bones in your hand. There's 27 books in the New Covenant. And the hand is Jesus. He's the right hand. And John 1 says that Jesus was in the bosom of the Father. And so he says, Moses, pluck your hand out. When he plucked it out, what did it look like? Leprous, white as snow. Remember what we just heard? White as snow. It was had uncleanness, had defilement, because on Christ was laid all the sins of mankind. He was made to be sin who knew no sin. So then he said, Moses, now put it back in your bosom. Jesus took our sins to the Father as the high priest sprinkled his blood of atonement upon the eternal ark of the covenant, the ark of the eternal, the everlasting covenant in heaven, as our high priest, and made atonement for our sins. So when Moses plucked his hand out the second time, when Jesus comes the second time, he's coming without sin. And God said, Moses, if they will not believe the first sign, they'll believe the latter. Israel's going to believe you. Amen? Oh, by the way, the word book or books, 196 times exactly in the King James Bible. The Son of Man and Jesus Christ and this book, they're the same. The Word was God.